Has for us this morning. I got something for you. I want to share that God laid on the heart a while back, and it just kind of got confirmed this last week that, yep, that's the direction I want you to go. So hopefully I believe that you'll be blessed by it. But let's press in Jesus' name with some prayer. Father, we come before you as your believers, Lord. We are here because we've received of you. We want to continue on our walk with you. I pray that today's message, Lord, that you'll use it in a way to help stir hearts, Lord, to keep pressing in, to go a little bit deeper, to press past the hang-ups and the hindrances, anything that would try to hold us back from more of you. And that, Lord, we press in and receive the fullness of what you want to give us, Lord, that we receive everything that's available, as much as we can handle, and even more at times, Lord. Will you pour it into our lives and help us then to be changed from the inside out, to feel and experience and know you a little bit different, to walk out different than we came in. Lord, we're trusting you for these things. Use your word, Lord, to penetrate hearts. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So, as the title would imply, we're going to talk about receiving. If you remember, last week we got going, we talked about the title, I think it was Just Ask. Okay, and it was about just asking, just put it out there before God because of the ability, the willingness that he has to be able to get into our lives, to respond to what we say and as we put it out there before him. So asking is a huge part of it. Receiving, of course, is on the other end of that. We had a great discussion on Wednesday night. We were talking about the new creation life that we live now as a Christian. And one of the parts of the conversation that stood out to me was about the advantages that we have as a believer and how at times maybe we take those advantages for granted. Maybe we don't walk in some of the blessing that we surely could have. We know that life is better, okay, that it's easier to navigate life as a spirit-filled believer. But if we grow a little complacent, okay, we can lose sight of the fact that being a child of God is extremely exciting. Okay, there is something to it that is more than just the somber people sitting in a pew somewhere. It is the excitement, the stirring, the power, the glory, the manifestations. It's all the things that God wants to do. In my life, I've seen that as part of the encouragement. Those are things that helps me to want to take another step. I'll go deeper into Jesus any day when you find out some of the things that are a part of it. Okay, now, there are some powerful experiences, some positive experiences, because not everything is positive, right? But powerful and positive experiences that we will experience simply because of our faith in Jesus and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Okay? I don't know about you, I have a past life, I have a BC life before I gave my life to Christ, and I had some pretty fun times back in those days. I had times that were, you know, as a lost person, were fun. They were pretty crazy. Okay? Some of it was pretty exciting. I ran around with, I guess what I would call adrenaline junkies, okay? And we found many different ways to get our fix. You know, we'll find some way, whatever the occasion was, we were going to figure it out. Okay, but none of those feelings, okay, and not a single one of those experiences can truly compare to the deep, satisfying fulfillment that I find as a Christian believer. Those things that I've experienced in Christ far exceed anything that seemed like exciting and fun back then. To me, the difference between like worldly fun and, quote, happiness compared to true Holy Spirit-induced joy are like night and day. Okay, when the Holy Spirit's involved, things are going to get exciting. It is going to be a better experience. Okay, when you engage in something that you know without a doubt is a result of God's divine intervention in your life. Okay, like laying hands on someone and praying in the name of Jesus and seeing them healed right before your eyes. Okay, or receiving and sharing a word of knowledge that the Holy Spirit has divinely given you to be able to speak into someone's life to help them or to encourage the body with a word of wisdom. Those kind of things are, when they manifest in your life, sometimes it's almost hard to even express the gratitude. Sometimes all you can get out is a praise God. you know, or thank you, Jesus. Wow, did you see that? It's just a, you know, it's not some big elaborate thing that we're going to go into praise. Sometimes we do. But a lot of times they're so inebriating that you're just in awe of that moment. Okay, now, I don't know how many of you, I guess I have to share a little bit of how I grew up in order to be able to make these next examples make sense. But how many of you ever went to like a circus? Okay, there was one in town here not too long ago. I don't think they had the big animals, but I know as a kid, when I would go to something like a circus and I'd be up in the stands and I would be just in awe of this like superhuman bravery of this guy that would lay down and let an elephant hover his foot over his head and not crush him. Or that guy that would step into the lion's cage and he would, you know, divert the lion or rebuke him just with a verbal command. As a kid, those are wow moments. That's something that's like, wow, can you believe that guy? Wow, look at what he's doing and what he did. Or maybe it'd be something like a magic show. Okay, do you remember going to the magic show and the guy walks up to somebody in the audience and he pulls out this big flower? I can't do it, or I'd do it for you, but he pulls out this big bouquet of flowers out of somebody in the audience's ear. Or I remember the one watching on TV, and I don't remember who the guy was, but I just remember sitting on the edge of my seat as a kid, watching as this guy was, they strapped him in a straitjacket and cinched it up real tight, and then they wrapped log chains around him, and then they padlocked those chains on him, and then they dropped him into a big tank of water, and he had to get himself out of all that before he drowned. Right? And you're sitting on the edge of your seat, they're counting down how much air they think he has left and all these things. And you're watching this going, wow, how is he? Oh, is he going to happen? And then, lo and behold, you get to the end and he makes it out okay. Okay, well, that kind of intensity, okay, those kind of awe-filled moments are what walking with God is like for many Christians today. Okay, where you get to see new things that you've never seen it happen before, or you get to be wowed by things that are divine, that are God, that is Holy Spirit led. Okay, the expression that I learned as a young Christian in my walk with the Holy Spirit was, there's never a dull moment when you walk with God. If things are going to continually be exciting, what will God do next? What will God do today? And if you get up with that attitude and you start thinking that, wow, what today could be a great day, right? I mean, if God's in it, it's got potential. It's going to turn out okay. Okay, well, there is a key to walking in the fullness of God. Okay, and it's not what I would call a once and done. It's not like you unlock it and then you're done. Okay, it's more than a once and done moment. I would describe it as more of an ongoing attitude, okay, of willingly and eagerly receiving the gifts that have been given to you, okay, to partake of those gifts then. Once you acknowledge and you've received the gifts, then it becomes a matter of activating, walking in them, going through life, engaging in those gifts in your daily walk. Basically, actively using them throughout your walk with the Lord. I have gifts at home, and maybe you do too, that people have given me that I have rarely used. My pastor loves to bless me, and he gives me some great, great things sometimes. And one of them, I remember, I just saw it this morning. That's why it's on my mind. But it's like a night vision camera. Okay, this little thing, it looks like a little camcorder. And I remember when I first got it, that's cool. But I plugged it in and I, you know, checked it out during the daytime and all that. And I thought, I need to get that out again at night. And I kind of tucked it away. And then lo and behold, I kind of got busy with life and things didn't happen. And I just, you know, my evenings were full or whatever. And I didn't get a chance to go out and do it. And now it's been several months and it's still sitting there and I've never checked it out at night. That's a gift that has been given to me that I have not utilized. I have not put into use. Okay, well, the Holy Spirit and God has given us gifts that sometimes we have tucked them away on a shelf somewhere and we're not actively using them yet. I want to encourage you to use some of those gifts today. Okay, that's where this whole message comes from this morning, is summed up into those three words: receive the gift and then walk in it. Okay, that's 8 words or something. Okay, so how do we do that? The word gift, if you look it up in a concordance, King James Bible, is in there over 100 times. 127 or 137 times. Okay, that means that there's many different, maybe uses of the word, and we can get in there and we can look at how it's used to be able to understand what it is that we are to willingly and eagerly receive. Okay, well, one example is as the Apostle Paul opens up his first letter to the Corinthian Christians, he prays a prayer of thanksgiving for them, and then he includes a statement that he desires for them that they don't come short of any of the gifts that God wants to give them. Okay, and that's what stirred me on this message. I thought there's something that Paul was trying to make sure that they received. And it, as a pastor, I see things like that and it kind of jumps out that there must be something I should maybe share because I don't want people to miss out on these gifts or whatever it is that God wants to give. Let's look at this. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 1:4 says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, he thanks God for the grace that was given to them by Jesus, so that they would not have any hindrance to receiving the gifts that God would benefit them with. Things that he knew that would benefit them. Through grace, we receive this massive gift. And through it, Paul is saying, I don't want you to miss out on any of the benefits that came with this. They are things that will immensely encourage, enrich, help you in your life, benefit you in your life. And he adds, while you wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, as you anticipate the return of our Savior. Okay, to come behind in no gift, as King James puts it, literally means that he didn't want them to fall short in receiving the gift that had been given to them. Okay, don't fall short in this. In other words, keep pressing in until you get the whole thing understood. Okay, I think that we should desire to obtain the full capacity of the gifts in our lives as well. Are you guys with me? Okay, that word gift in this verse there is defined as this. It is gift. It is the word charisma in the Greek. Anybody heard of charisma before? Okay, charisma in the Greek. It's related to other words that are derived from the root word care. Okay, kara, for example, is joy, cheerfulness, and delight. Cariz is grace. It's goodwill, undeserved favor. Charisma, then, is a gift of grace, a free gift, a divine benefit, a spiritual endowment, and miraculous ability. Okay, grace, favor, joy, divine empowerment, miraculous ability, these are gifts, are part of the gift I don't want to miss out on. Okay, they're all part of a gift that we don't want to fall short in receiving, in other words. You know, I, like Paul, don't want to see any of us come short of those things. If it's part of the package, let's open it up. Okay, those are all included in this benefit package that you received when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the bonus package of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I'll explain that in a minute. Okay, in fact, the word charisma in the Greek is especially used to designate the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Before I get too far into that, I want to look at some of what else has been freely given. If you look in the Bible, there's a lot of things that we are to receive. For starters, your very salvation. It's all based on a gift. Okay, it's a gift from God called grace, right? The big one. Okay, it's given to you when you believed on His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, when Jesus talks with the Samaritan woman at the well, you kind of remember that story a little bit, she begins to kind of question a little bit because she's puzzled on why this person is asking her for a drink. You know, why did He come and say, draw me something to drink? Here's Jesus' answer. It's in John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answers and He says unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest asked of Him and He would have given thee the living water. In other words, Jesus is a gift from God. Okay, it used to be a thing, I know when I was young, we used to, maybe girls did it too, but as a young male, sometimes we would say, I'm a gift to women, right? Or I'm a gift to my mom, I'm a gift to, you know, whatever. Jesus can get away with that because He was the gift of God. He was the perfect gift. The rest of us all were as flawed, if not by pride, by other things. Okay, your righteousness, okay, your right standing with God, okay, is entirely based on a free gift from God. Okay, Ephesians 4:7 says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay, again in Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense, by Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one named Jesus Christ. Again, pointing grace and Jesus into one sentence because He is. Okay, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, eternal life in heaven is a gift from God. Okay, it's not something that you earn by doing good deeds while you're on the earth. Most of us know that. We get the concept of salvation through grace. Okay, but I think that eternal life in heaven as a free gift is a pretty good gift to rejoice about, is it not? Is it not something to say, praise God, that's a done deal in my life. I'm ready to go. Okay, we're still going to do a ton of good things while we're here on earth. But I know I'm certainly glad that I don't have to go through life wondering if I've done enough good deeds. Okay, Christ has done those for me. I will do plenty, but I don't have to worry about how much. Okay, next to grace and salvation and righteousness, one of the greatest gifts being offered to us is the one that I referred to earlier as the bonus package. Okay, simply put, it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it is supernatural. Okay, brace yourselves. Okay, if you got any religion in you, grab your seat to your chair and hang on. Okay, listen to what Jesus says. Luke chapter 11, we'll start in verse 9, we'll read through 13. Jesus said, again, I say unto you, this will sound familiar from last week, again, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives, and he that seeks, finds, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened. In verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish instead give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, says, being evil, or as much as evil is in you yet, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? In other words, you know how to give good stuff. You know how to bless people. And Jesus is saying, if you know how to bless people, imagine what me and my Father can do. We're going to really bless people and give the Holy Spirit. It is a package. It is a present, a gift beyond anything that we could give to one another. Okay, the very next verse after this, I see Him say, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? The next verse says this, It says, now Jesus, this is out of the Amplified, it says, Jesus was driving out a demon that was dumb. And it occurred that when the demon had gone out, the dumb man spoke and crowds marveled. Okay, now I read that and it reminded me that when you're walking with the Holy Spirit, he's just talking about that, and then he turns and casts a demon out. Okay, and I'm picturing that the walk with the Holy Spirit that he's implying is going to include some of this good stuff. Okay, in other words, if there are tormenting stuff, things that are influencing your life, demonic influence, it can be addressed. True deliverance is possible to those with the Holy Spirit. If you remember when there was a time when a Canaanite woman comes to Jesus and he's crying out to her for deliverance for her daughter. It says, my daughter is tormented. She's sorely vexed. She has this spirit. Okay, and here's part of the conversation that Jesus has with her in Matthew chapter 15. We'll read 24 through 28. Jesus answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Okay, some of you know my pastor is a deliverance minister in Billings, and he has often used that expression when he talks about deliverance. He says, deliverance is the children's bread. Okay, it's because of this verse. When you read that and you understand what Jesus is saying, he's saying that deliverance, that ability to get rid of some of those demonic things out of your life by speaking the name of Jesus, using the power, the authority of the Holy Spirit, is possible, and that it is the children's bread. You and I are the children he's talking about. The bread is the deliverance. It's that stuff that will help us and sustain us to get us through that. Okay, it is part of the package that we receive when we receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, some of those problems, okay, some of the torments and the things that keep you agitated or stirred or angry or lusting or whatever, they can be addressed by commanding them out in the name of Jesus Christ. God has given you an authority, not making it up. I can show you all the scriptures to back that up. He wants you to walk in an authority by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit comes with a tremendous amount of power. And again, it's what I call an exciting power. It is pretty cool, okay, that you don't have to deal with some of those things. Okay, addictions and things that plagued me early on in my walk, I knew, I found out this stuff and I'm like, I'm a child, it's for me, I want that. Okay, I don't need the whatever in my life, I want to get rid of that. And I went to my pastor and said, I want some of this children's bread. I want some of that deliverance. Okay, sit down, let's go. Okay, and he would help with it. Okay, the Holy Spirit has got such a power that at times, I'm not saying it's about this, but it'll make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. It'll give you goosebumps when you see the Holy Spirit at work and he manifests and you begin sensing that he's on the move. It's not something you're doing, stirring up, making up. It is the Spirit of God at work and you feel and sense his presence. Okay, it is the Holy Spirit that brings those intense kind of edge of the seat moments where you get to watch what he is doing. Okay, when the disciples questioned Jesus about when he was going to restore his kingdom, you know, they're like, when is it going to get really good? Okay, Jesus says this to them, and it's in Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 7. This would be in red in most people's Bible. It's Jesus. He says unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you're going to receive your own power. Okay, after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Okay, receiving the Holy Ghost. Okay, I call it the baptism. Okay, full immersion. Okay, I believe in a package, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's very true. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We get the package. But there is a separate occurrence that I see in Scripture called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is something that came after they believed in Jesus. After your entrance is sealed. Holy Spirit's there to help do that. But there is something that goes beyond that. Receiving that baptism, that power of the Holy Spirit, is by far the most exhilarating and exciting gift that I've ever received. Okay, grace is good, but I understand grace. God wanted to save His people. They couldn't do it. He did it for them. This is a bonus. This is like a turbocharger. It's like a, you know, it's like nitrous oxide if you're into car racing. Okay, it's that stuff that it is beyond, you know, necessary in some ways. Okay, you can drive from A to B without nitrous oxide. You just can't go as fast, right? Okay, so this is when I got the baptism was like, whoa, something just happened. This is bigger than normal for God. God does a lot of things and they're more than normal. Let me show you some scriptures before I get too far. Acts chapter 2. We'll start with verse 38. People are wondering, what do? They get convicted in their heart. Peter says this. He says unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Later on, okay, thumb through a few chapters, people are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're not getting the nitrous. Okay? And Peter and John start figuring that out. So look what happens a few chapters later in Acts chapter 8, verse 14, and we'll read through 20. It says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Wanted to buy the turbo, right? I want that. I'll buy that. But 19, it says, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money will perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. In other words, the Holy Spirit, this laying on of hands, this empowerment, this nitrous, is not something you earn, it's not something you buy, it is something you receive as a gift from God. Okay? Even the ability to transfer the Holy Ghost is what Simon thought he was buying. Even that is called a gift of God. Okay, that's pretty impressive. Okay, remember the Corinthians that Paul had prayed for that they wouldn't come up short in any of the gifts? Okay, well, he goes on to specifically tell them about the charisma gifts of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm praying for you that you don't come up short in any way. And then later on, he begins to tell them about these charisma gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First verse says this. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now there are diversities of gifts, okay, but it's the same Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Okay, Paul is saying to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, or the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for your good and for your profit. He wants us to have that. Paul doesn't want anyone to fall short in that. But then immediately after that, he lists out the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:8. He says, "For to one is given by the Holy Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally or individually as he will." If you want some purpose, okay, if you want some excitement in your walk with God, start utilizing some of these gifts. Life will start to pick up, I promise you. When you receive a word of wisdom, okay, it's a divinely inspired, you know something, there's no possible way that you should know. You receive a word of wisdom, you know that you know that you know what the solution to that problem is. Okay, there's no more, "Well, I think this might work for you." Okay, there's no more, "Maybe it'll work," or "I hope that this is the answer," or that this solves the problem. The Spirit will speak to you a divine word so that you know exactly what the next step is. You can go to your friend and say, "Listen, do X and Y and Z will happen." Done. You know that. There's no doubt. There's no, "Maybe you could try doing this, maybe you could try." It's X and Y will lead to Z. And it's divinely given to you by God. It's a word of wisdom by His Spirit. Okay, wouldn't it be great if you could know things about people or about situations without anybody ever telling you what happened or what's going on, that you began to know inside? Okay, it's called a word of knowledge. We joked around the other day about somebody. We saw something on a TV, my boys and family and I, and it said something about ESP. Okay, you remember back in the 80s, ESP, they called it extrasensory perception. It was this thing where somebody was thinking the same thing that you were thinking, and you'd be like, "Oh, I have a ESP." Okay, well, we had a friend that used to say, "I have ESPN." And we'd, no, it's ESP. But anyway, ESP is nothing but a lost person's counterfeit. It's the devil's counterfeit for a word of knowledge. Okay, it is possible to hear, to know, to have a word of knowledge about a situation, to be able to know something. We had a man that prophesied long years ago to my wife that without even knowing anything about where she was going or what life was going to be, he says, enjoy your time in Nebraska. Say hello to Nebraska. Yes, say hello to Nebraska for me. He had no idea that we were going to move to Nebraska and start a church. None. Nobody knew. We didn't know at that point. Okay, but when it began to come to pass, we're like, remember that word? That was a word of knowledge. Somebody was speaking something they had no way to know and putting that into our life. Okay, that is a charisma gift. Okay, it is a divine enablement. It is spiritual illumination given as evidence of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in somebody's life. Okay, in your life. Okay, if you want an adrenaline rush, talk about adrenaline junkies. Try operating in the gift of faith. Okay, try operating in the gift of healing or the gift of miracles. Okay, I've seen sight restored in people's eyes. Okay, I've seen cancers healed, bones mended. I've experienced a semi-trailer. The trailer was sliding and going to slam into a carload of teenagers, and I saw an angel stop that trailer and shove it out of the way. There's no possible way that it was any other. I have no other explanation. God saved that group of kids from colliding with that trailer. Okay, or what about the gift of prophecy? That's listed in these 9. Okay, speaking as a spokesperson for God. Okay, telling a person or an entire church or even a whole nation speaking exactly what God wants for them to hear at a particular time. Maybe things that will come to pass in the future. Maybe things that are going on right now. But it's something that will come to pass exactly as spoken. Okay, that's pretty awesome stuff. Okay? I think the gift of discerning of spirits is one that is critical for every Christian to operate in. Okay, imagine how much less stress and anxiety and burdens and grief, how much of that can be diverted if you see into the spiritual realm. You begin to see what is really going on and not be looking at the surface level stuff, thinking it's a person, thinking it's a situation. But you see beyond that into that spiritual realm, and now you know. Now there's no wound, no hurt. It's like, it's the devil doing his stupid stuff. Okay? Or you speak to it. Okay? That's that authority. You can speak to that situation once you see it for what it is. Okay? It is something that I think seeing into the spiritual realm can be pretty intense at times. But it is definitely a gift worth exercising until it becomes a strong part of your daily routine. Okay? It will keep you from being offended and hurt and wounded and probably keep you from wounding others. You can see what's going on so you don't retaliate. You don't go after them and hurt people in that way. How about speaking in tongues? Okay, interpretation of tongues. Okay, they're gifts that are invaluable, not just for the benefit of the church, okay, but for your personal edification. Okay, that means building up, spiritually strengthening. Okay, in the church, the scriptures tell us that an announcement in an unknown tongue followed by an interpretation of the proclamation is equal to a prophecy. Okay? In other words, tongues and interpretation of tongues is like 5 cents, and 5 cents, it equals a dime. It equals the prophecy. Okay? And Paul goes on to give instruction on that for the churches. It was given for us to have. It's extremely moving for everyone in a church. Okay, when the Holy Spirit manifests like that, it is undeniable. Something spiritual just happened is bigger than me. Even if I don't understand it, I saw something that I have no explanation for. God is at work. The Holy Spirit is moving. Privately, speaking in tongues is your personal prayer language. Okay, it is something that cannot be interfered with, it cannot be negated, and cannot be nullified. Okay, how many times now? You can pray in the Spirit when you're praying with friends or whatever. In a church, there's some kind of guidelines for it in the Bible. But if I'm praying with some friends and I'm praying for somebody's healing and I say, you know, I pray in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that cancer, whatever. And then that group walks away and two or three of them are together like, yeah, did you hear that prayer? Yeah, she's going to die of this cancer next week. Okay, they're negating what I just prayed. Okay, but guess what? If I say, Yarokumba shandi yararabata, who can negate that? Nobody. The devil can't negate it. His demons can't negate it. People can't negate it. You just spoke into the spiritual realm, the language that God understood perfectly. In the spirit, we speak mysteries. I may not know exactly what I just said, but God does. Okay, God is in, he knows that language. My friend that led me to Christ used to say that praying in the Spirit is like angel talk. It is a communication that in the spiritual realm, the Holy Spirit, his buddies all understand it. They jump. They hear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." It's powerful stuff. 1 Corinthians again, 14:4, Paul said, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." Okay, builds you up in the Spirit. I don't think it'll shock anyone. I pray in the Spirit every day. Okay, it's not something that I do. I don't get alone and say, "I'm going to go sit alone and pray in the Spirit." I just do it. It's just part of my day. Okay, washing the dishes. Once in a while I do dishes, right? You know, you could be doing whatever. You could be walking across the yard. You can be driving down the road, whatever, and you're just letting that prayer language come out. You've got things. The more busy I get, the more complicated life is, the more I pray in the Spirit. It's just a given for me because I don't know what to pray as I ought, but the Holy Spirit does. And so prompt me, Spirit. Give me some words here. I'll put sound to it. You're going to put the language together, okay? And God's going to say, got it, got it. Angels are jumping. Things are happening as you're doing that. Some of you have heard of a minister named Kenneth Hagin. Okay, he's a man of faith. Many years ago, he talked about having a vision while he was praying in tongues. He was praying in the Spirit, and he's praying, and he says he saw into the spiritual realm the demons, basically, that were putting what looked like hooves over their ears, squealing like pigs and running out of the room as he prayed in tongues. It moves things in the spiritual realm. That's why it's a gift. It's part of that turbo. I think that's the nitro right there. That's good stuff. It is going to get things moving in the spiritual realm. Okay, praying is powerful. Praying in tongues is powerful as well. You're speaking directly unto God. You know, all these things that I'm sharing on this morning on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of grace, righteousness. You know, all these things that, especially these last nine that we've been talking about, are all part of that bonus package that came with the Holy Spirit. It's part of His deal. If you're hungry for more, there's more to be had. Okay, our awesome God created this infinite physical universe. Okay, they're still trying to find the ends of it. A God that would do that in the natural realm, think of what He has done in the spiritual realm. There's more to be had. Okay, this is an unending spiritual realm that's filled with gifts that will all glorify His name. It is filled with more. Okay, there is more joy, there's more favor, there's more anointing, there's more grace, there's more ability, there's more to be had. Okay, just press in and receive of that. Just press in and receive it. Father, we are praising You this morning. You are a great and awesome God, Lord. Your plan continually stirs me inside because I see the infinite of just how far it goes, Lord, and I can't even see the end of it. Father, it is impressive. You are impressive. Your plan of salvation, Your gift of grace, Your sending Jesus, Your Holy Spirit, and all the power and gifts that come through Him, it is impressive. Father, I pray that as we go through this week, Lord, that You will continue that stirring in our hearts. Stir up the gift that is in us. Okay, stir it up to the point that we pull that thing off the shelf, whatever it is that we have tucked away, and we begin to see it, manifest, use it, utilize it, walk in it, and allow You to do what You want to do in and through our life, Lord. We trust You this morning. We know that You have our best interests in mind. We know that You gave us Your word to instruct us, to guide us, to lead us on this path. Father, I pray, take us deeper with You. We receive all that You want to give us today, Lord. We say it, we pray it. In Jesus' name we say, amen.